I'm Sunny St. Leonard's on the south coast of the UK. This is the Keto Woman Podcast, brought to you by me, Daisy Brackenhall. Hello, Keto Lovelies. This is me coming to you very late on a Sunday. Well, not very late on a Sunday. It's Sunday afternoon, but very late as in it should have been Friday, and actually it should have been last Friday, so about 10 days late. Anyway, it's just a quick explanation, and I'm going to be doing a rerun. I've got behind again, and to be perfectly honest, I'm not feeling great at the moment. My mood has taken a bit of a nosedive over the last week or so, and I'm just struggling a bit. I'm trying to treat it, or when these waves of depression come in, and I think a wave is quite a good description actually, because they come and they go, they ebb and they flow. And I'm starting to see it as, and treat it as, a little bit like a cold, I guess. Something that overwhelms you to a certain extent, and there's only limited things you can really do to make it any better. You can't click your fingers and make it go away. There are some things you can do, I guess, to look after yourself a little bit. Like if you've got a cold, well, I guess there are two ways of dealing with a cold. You can either try and deny that you've got a cold and push it to the back and carry on going, and that just ends up kind of dragging it out, really, doesn't it? It doesn't stop you having that cold. You can't click your fingers and make it go away. And you just seem to end up with it longer than you would have done if you actually took a breath, were a little bit kind to yourself, looked after yourself, maybe took a few duvet days, whatever it was, you know, take some medication, take care of your food, whatever it is, you just look after yourself a bit and you see yourself through that cold and out the other side, because you know that there is an other side. There's an ebb and a flow to it. It comes, there's nothing much you can do about it, but you're usually pretty secure in the knowledge that it's just a cold. It will last as long as it lasts, depending what kind of cold it is. I've got a friend who's had one for the best part of 2 months. But usually, you know, it's a week, it's 2 weeks at worst. It does its thing, clears your system, and you come out the other side feeling okay. And you can either fight it or you can roll with it and try and look after yourself. So it suddenly dawned on me the other day, well, maybe this isn't such a bad way maybe to look at depression when it comes in feeling like a bit of a wave. And thinking of waves, you can tell how much it's impacted me by the fact that I haven't been down to the beach for a good week. I say I haven't. I hadn't. I went down this morning. I went down yesterday. And it was interesting that I noticed what it felt like today in particular. It just felt bitterly cold. It didn't feel particularly enjoyable, but it did feel beneficial. So I think it's a good sign when I start doing things that I don't necessarily feel like doing, but I know are going to help. So that's where I'm at. Once again, I'm here in front of you apologizing. But there doesn't seem to be an awful lot I can do about it other than do that, to apologize and to explain what's going on. I find it all too easy to just sort of bury my head in the sand, and that's what I did last time, and that's definitely not fair on you. And I did promise if it happened again, I would come back with a repeat episode and a bit of an explanation by way of the introduction. So here I am, albeit a tad late. And I thought, who better to share with you for a repeat episode than my very good friend and, I have to say, amazing support system, Terry Lance. I was having a look through her Mindset Matters episodes, and my first instinct was just to go back to the oldest one as it being further away in time. But it just so happens that the subject, making keto part of your identity, is actually perfectly apt to be coming in as part of this Keto Curious series. And I will finish the series at some point. I'm one of these people who kind of has to be feeling it to share it. And as I haven't been feeling that great, it feels very difficult to come up with that kind of positive, useful content that I'm wanting to put out. Maybe that was an error on my part, putting too much on myself to produce this content that I've come to realize, you know, I'm not really overly comfortable in that presenter role in the front of house. Although, of course, I do it here every week and I do it in Monday Mindset as well. But I'm not a natural when it comes to just producing my own content. I'm much more comfortable in that interviewer position or in the shared conversational position that I do with Terry in Monday Mindset. So anyway, you know, we live and learn. We learn about ourselves all the time. And I'm coming to really find and grow into my role, I guess, a bit more as a producer. I really get a lot out of making other people shine with my old and new production skills. I'm really starting to thrive in that role. So that's not to say, of course, that I don't have things to share myself. I most definitely do. But sometimes I struggle a little bit with it. I finally accidentally found out how to access the reviews in other countries other than mine, which is the only one that I could see previously in Apple Podcasts. But I happened to stumble across it in the podcaster's account that you have with Apple. I discovered that all the reviews are there and you can select the country. So I haven't been through them all yet, but I've been having a bit of a catch up with some of the old reviews. And I have to say that apart from the odd, well, I say bad one, there's quite a funny one. What I'll do is I'll collect some of these and share them with you. But for the most part, especially when I'm feeling a little bit low, they really do lift me. They make me realize that for the most part, at least, you do appreciate this podcast and you appreciate the content that I put out. I think sometimes when I'm just here working away on my own, I kind of forget that. It's easy to do. I think you get a bit lost in your own bubble and you forget that people do actually enjoy listening to what you put out. So thank you very much. And if you feel so inclined to write a review, do so wherever you are in the world. I know where to find them now. So I will be able to read them. And perhaps I'll start sharing some of them with you because it's nice, I think, to read those and to share them. I have had some nice things to enjoy. I think I probably mentioned the last time I recorded that I was heading up to London to spend the day with my sister and her family. I can't remember if I've reported back to you on that yet or not. I lose track of where I am in time. It was a bit of a drama. We had Storm Eunice. I think I might have just recorded as that was happening and before I'd headed up to London, if I remember rightly. And I told you a little bit about Storm Eunice and the havoc she wreaked. Well, that havoc extended to messing up the trains on the Sunday, and I had to drive up to Sevenoaks, which, funnily enough, is where I used to go to school and get the train every day to and from school, at least until I had my first car, my Morris Minor, and I used to take great delight in driving to and from school. But it was really funny to be going back to that train station, probably, I don't know, gosh, yes, over 30 years later. It felt very strange, but I drove to Sevenoaks and I got the train up from there. There were trees down on the line and electrical faults and all that stuff that basically meant that I couldn't get on the train as I usually do, just a few minutes down the road. Luckily, I thought to check first thing in the morning, so I still managed to make it in time and had a very, very enjoyable day with my sister, her husband, and her two young boys. We went to see Sing 2, which I can heartily recommend. It's one of those animated films that is ostensibly for kids, but is really, really enjoyable for adults too. One of those films that you would actually choose to go and see. You don't just see a little bit under duress because you're going along with yours or somebody else's children. But we all enjoyed it very much. And then afterwards, we were in Leicester Square. If you know Leicester Square, big open space known for cinemas and theatres, but a big open space. And there was a beatboxer doing his beatboxing stuff. And the eldest of my sister's two boys, Eric, he is really into dancing and a lot of those old school breakdancing moves. And he got out there and he busted some moves. And we were all extremely proud. And the crowd went wild. And that's not just me saying that. They really did. And someone even came and gave him some money. They were so impressed. The beatboxer gave him a little bow and a nod of thanks. And he really was very, very good indeed. So you can imagine that made the day even more enjoyable. And then last weekend, friends of mine, Pete and Alison, came to see me. I haven't seen them for 2 years. They were close neighbours of mine in France and became very, very good friends. In fact, the biggest thing that I miss about France are those two. So it was fantastic to see them. And I really enjoyed showing them my new home, sharing my new home with them, and spending some time catching up. So there have been some good moments. It hasn't all been doom and gloom. I don't know what you're like. I'm sure some of you out there suffer from depression, and it's a strange thing sometimes how I find you can kind of put it in a box and put it on a shelf with something like that that distracts you. But inevitably, it has to come back down off the shelf and out of the box and work its way through your system just like a cold. And I've had some of those days where it feels very much like a cold, like a migraine. It's funny, I was thinking about it and trying to kind of relate it to other things. And some days it has that very, very physical presence that you just feel the absolute need to shut off, which I usually do with sleep. So that's one of the reasons why I kind of compared it to a migraine, because a similar solution. But anyway, enough of me talking about my problems and rambling on. This is just a quick check-in to tell you what's going on and to introduce, albeit a repeat episode, of my very, very good friend, Terry Lance. And this is episode number 196, Mindset Matters with Terry Lance, Making Keto Part of Your Identity. So if you haven't listened before, I hope you enjoy it. If you have listened before and want to listen to it again, I know you will enjoy it again. Otherwise, I will see you back here next week, hopefully with a new episode. I'm going to endeavour to line up some interviews because that I find a lot easier, and it's just a case then of finding the time to get the editing done rather than finding both the time and the energy and the presence of mind to be creating the content as well. So if I can get some interviews under my belt, I can get some new content to you. So if you're listening at home and you fancy coming on, get in touch. Or if there's somebody you want me to interview, get in touch and let me know, and I'll reach out and see if they're willing to come and share their story, their expertise, their ideas, whatever it is If there's something you want to hear about, if there's somebody you would like me to chat to, let me know. Drop me a line and I'll see what I can do. Well, I do hope wherever you are as happy as you can be. And I hope you take very, very good care until I see you next time. Until then, I shall leave you with Terry Lance. Welcome back, Terry, to the Keto Woman Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks, Daisy. Good to be here.
Well, this is the first of one of the new format episodes. As you know, I've wanted to shake Keto Woman up a little bit, and I thought it would be really nice to have some shorter form episodes. And one of the types of episodes I really wanted to bring to the audience was mindset and behavior. And of course, the first person who came to mind was my good friend and co-host on the Monday Mindset Podcast, Terry Lance. So thank you very much for joining me, Terry.
I'm excited to do this. I'm very happy to get to join you in another format here.
So the choice is yours about what you would like to talk about. So take it away.
Great. Thanks. So one of the thoughts I've been thinking about since you and I first, or since you first mentioned this to me, is the idea that you and I talk a lot about mindset and behavioral things in Monday Mindset Podcast, but oftentimes we skirt around the issue of dietary approaches, fasting, and things that are, you know, part of how we got connected with ketogenic lifestyle, and then for me, fasting and all of that. So I was really excited for this opportunity to get to talk in a little more detail about some of these concepts as they relate to dietary lifestyle and, you know, mindset and behavior things.
That's right, because we agreed, didn't we, when we started Monday Mindset, that we were mostly, like you say, occasionally we sort of skirt around it a bit, but we agreed mostly we were going to keep all that stuff out of it.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about, what do I hear and see most often in different Facebook groups that I'm in your Kick Arse Keto Bitches group, in other keto groups, low carb, different fasting groups, and then in my work with clients through the fasting method, what kind of issues come up around mindset and behavior? And one of the biggest themes that I think most of us, I could talk about this every time you and I talk, but people might get a little tired of me. But I think one of the most important things to think about, if you are doing, and I usually use the term low carb and keto pretty interchangeably, but just if you're choosing to approach your nutrition through a ketogenic way of eating or a low carb way of eating, whatever that looks like, I think it's really important to really have a grasp on why you're doing it. Is it because you think it's the healthiest way to eat? Is it because you have some health concerns that really require anti-inflammatory foods and not a lot of insulin response, not a lot of glucose? Are you seeking weight loss or weight management that this really makes sense for? And once you really have that identified, to then start making the behavior change, the habits that you're doing related to all of this, part of your identity. And you and I talked a little bit about this on one of our Monday Mindset podcast episodes, but one of the authors I really enjoy is James Clear, who wrote the book Atomic Habits. And in a podcast interview that we both listened to, he talked about this, that if you really want to be successful at habit change, it is best to choose habits that support your identity, how you see yourself, or even how you want to see yourself, how you want to live your life and create your life. I'm guessing you and I have talked about this, so I'm not guessing. I know that you see this too, where people say things like, I do so great when I'm eating keto, and then I don't. Or they'll say things like, I've been keto for 14 days and I'm doing so well, but this was after 2 months of not. And it always just strikes a chord in me that this is part of the challenge that people really, I think, need to address. If I'm going to say, I think keto or low carb or fasting are great strategies, are they strategies I only need to use 10% of the time? Or are they strategies that I have to make my lifestyle and therefore make my identity?
Yes, and this is really what people are going on about when they say, and it can sound a bit preachy, I think, when you're new to keto, new to low carb, new to actually whatever new dietary plan you're following, as long as it's, you know, it's not actually set up as a crash diet or some kind of fad diet. But anything, you know, like keto, like low carb, like vegan, vegetarian, you know, all sorts of things that are very much a lifestyle change. And you hear that all the time, don't you? What's the trick to making it stick, making it your lifestyle, choosing it as your lifestyle? It's not a diet. And it can sound a bit preachy, but this is what it's all about, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's, if it's that important to you, and we've had this discussion, haven't we, that I think we can learn a great deal actually from the vegan community. Mm-hmm. Vegans get a bad rap often in the keto community. I don't think they should actually, but it's, you know, it's a choice. That's who you are, and everything just falls into place because of that. And I think we can learn a lot from that. Like you were saying, you wouldn't generally anyway, you wouldn't see a diehard vegan saying, oh, I'm just going to take the weekend off and go and have, you know, steak and bacon and all the rest of it. We all know someone like that and they just wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So we need to adopt that, I think.
Absolutely.
We need to start being like that. It's not, and it is that switch in mindset, not thinking about it as a diet. This is part of me. This is how I want to live. So it's not a case of taking the weekend off, taking time off when you go on holiday. Yes, you might make different decisions and different choices to fit what you're doing in the moment, but it should just come naturally when it's part of your identity.
And as you were describing that, I was also thinking being part of your identity means it fits your values.
Mm.
So I think for some people, when I use the example of, you know, I never hear a vegan person who's very committed to being vegan, I never hear them say, well, my whole family's eating steak, so I'm just going to have steak tonight, because that doesn't fit their value system. That decision for many to be vegan is a value system either around what they believe is best for their health, what they believe is best for the environment, or ethical decision based on using animals for food, whatever, that decision is a values-based decision. And I think that's where some of us struggle some with more ketogenic or low-carb lifestyles is, I think some people take it as it's kind of a restriction I have to put on myself versus a value. I value eating whole food that doesn't cause as much insulin response for my body. So is this cake congruent with my values? No, it's not. So it's in that way, it's the same as someone who is vegan would not say, you know, I really miss bacon, so I'm just going to have bacon today. It's incongruent with their values and their identity and why they're doing what they're doing. And I know for some people, again, that analogy doesn't fit because many people who choose to eat vegetarian or vegan, is based on like a ethical, moral thing. And most people are not ethically or morally choosing low carb or keto. But maybe just to broaden it out a little bit, it's a value system. I value this approach to nutrition as being what's best for my liver, pancreas, brain, weight, and then be congruent with those values. It makes, for me, it makes decisions so much easier. And when I watch people kind of waffling, I hear how difficult that is. So let's say they go out to dinner with friends, and the decision then is today a day that I eat low carb, or do I do a keto meal, or maybe I should just have this pasta dish? And for me, it actually has made that so much easier. When I go to a restaurant, I know what part of the menu I will look at, and I know what part of the menu I won't. I know what adaptations I will ask for. So I spent the day yesterday in a new town where I wasn't familiar with anything and found two places to eat meals that I could very easily make work for my approach to eating. I looked for vegetables, I looked for simple meats, I looked for healthy fats. And as I shared with you before we started recording, I even found ice cream that fits my approach. So knowing that I'm going to be congruent with my approach made finding those things so much easier.
Yes, because I was thinking about that slight mismatch with how you change that value system. Because yes, it's not always the case for people who follow a vegan lifestyle, but it generally is. It generally encompasses and it is very much filtered into the mainstream. I mean, I've noticed, not so much in France, but it was creeping in there. But I've certainly noticed very much being back in the UK that plant-based everything is dominating. And there's the, just that general conception of the morality behind it. You're helping save the planet. You're not eating animals, all these things like that. So like you said, it's quite a clear value system. But yes, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. How can you apply that? Mm-hmm. But it's just thinking about the values, your own values. Mm-hmm. What's your identity? And what are the values that support that? What works? And figuring out your own system. And like you say, once you're clear about that, it does make it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're with your family. So for example, I'm going to see some of my family, my brother's family is coming down to my mum's next weekend and I'm going over there. Chances are quite good that we might get a takeaway maybe for a meal in the evening. And they might, you know, they might ask for suggestions. Well, there are some things that I know that just aren't really going to work, that I can't really make work. So if someone suggests pizza, for example, well, that's not going to be great for me. Can we have something else? Or maybe I can get something else. As we were talking about, mm-hmm. you know, an Indian takeaway usually fits. You can find something quite easily. Chinese takeaway, a little bit more difficult. So you get to know the kind of, especially with fast foods or when you're going somewhere different, you kind of know what you're looking for. So you, it's just a bit easier, isn't it, to find something.
Mm-hmm. And I think the more you can be in tune with your why, what are your values around this choice, those decisions become easier. So for example, you mentioned maybe for someone vegetarian or vegan, an idea that they feel like, or plant-based being, you know, I'm saving the planet, I'm cutting down on carbon footprint or whatever. Well, I can say that about myself eating low carb. I'm cutting down on the medical care system expenses. I'm not going on as many medications and having to have, you know, as frequent of regular doctor visits or, you know, whatever that might be, or people with cardiovascular health issues. And so to really just be in touch with what is important to you, if feeling like you're contributing to the well-being of other people, you're using fewer of the medical care system resources, that's a great way to contribute. And if you believe eating low carb or keto helps you to do that, then it's very, in my mind, it's much easier than to be congruent with that decision. It's not just, I want to fit into that bathing suit. Whereas for some people, that is a driving force. But for many of us, I think we need some other values or reasons why. Otherwise, those things fade very quickly when you're faced with that decision at that restaurant. And you brought up another really important point that to me, if you're congruent with what works for you and what you value, what other people are doing doesn't really matter.
Mm.
So let's say you and a friend were going to get together and they said, oh, I really want to order out from my favorite Chinese restaurant. Let's do that. And you said, that's great. You go ahead and do that. I'm going to order from this steakhouse. You're both getting takeaway food anyway. What difference does it make? But they're doing what's congruent for their values and their preferences, and you're doing what's congruent for yours. And I think oftentimes, and you and I could do a whole nother talk on this, but oftentimes we feel like we need to just go along with what other people are doing. Like play nice, don't make anyone else uncomfortable. Your health and your being congruent with yourself, that's your right. And if someone else is uncomfortable with that, as long as you're not harming them, that's for them to work on. If they say, oh, well, I wanted us to get food from the same place, that's their stuff. But what you just did in that example was you were to say to them, great, enjoy that Chinese food that you really love. I'm going to enjoy this steak meal that I really love.
And we can enjoy the meal together.
Exactly. Mm. And so everyone can stay congruent with their beliefs and their values. It doesn't have to be a one giving up of.
And it's so easy to do these days in most places anyway. I thought that was very important what you just said about thinking about the healthcare system, for example. I mean, save the NHS is a, you know, huge slogan, especially with COVID in the UK. You know, for every Brit, really, the NHS has a place in their heart. It's free healthcare. It's very important to us. And it's been put under a lot of pressure with COVID. So one of the slogans has been, you know, help the NHS, save the NHS. And I think often something that does have restrictions. So a vegan way of eating is very restrictive. A keto way of eating is pretty restrictive. But it helps, doesn't it? If you know that you're doing something for the greater good. So yes, you think of your own value system and the things that are important to you and your identity. But to have that extra layer for the good of something bigger than yourself, that charitable aspect, that thinking of others aspect, if that comes wrapped up in your identity. So if you're thinking, part of the reason I'm eating this way is because I want to take the pressure off the NHS. That's very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really helps to have these layers, layer upon layer upon layer, different things that you can fall back on when you're struggling a bit. Because
mm-hmm.
make no mistake, I used to go out with a vegetarian, not vegan, but he was, you know, he was very strict. He was very committed, had that strong value system, part of his identity. He missed bacon. That was the thing, you know, he found really difficult. So he did feel that restriction. It was very hard for him to do, but he did it with all these layers of why he was doing it.
Mm-hmm. I think for some of us, and I know I'm maybe making a light example of this, but if we make it just about, there are reasons I think this could be good for me. Like, I'm going to stop wearing blue. And you ask me, well, why? And I said, well, you know, I don't always get compliments when I wear blue. I just think it would be better for me not to. That's pretty wishy-washy, and pretty easily I'm going to grab my favorite blue shirt and wear it. And when I'm struggling a little bit, I'm going to wear more blue or whatever. So if we're saying, I think eating low carb is just good for me because I've watched a lot of things that say it would be, it's going to be harder for me to really make those habit changes. It's going to be so much easier for me to still fill my cart with the old things that I used to fill my shopping cart with. It's going to be so much easier for me when a friend says, hey, would you like to have some cake? That I say, sure. Versus if I'm making that choice based on actual values and identity, then eating that stuff, having that stuff in my house, it just doesn't fit. Now, if I had an allergy to blue dye in clothes, I would not wear blue clothes because there's a significant conflict with having it. And I know that sounds a little weird, but I think for some of us, we don't make those foods that we now deem as problematic for us. We don't see them as problematic enough that we won't have them.
No, there's something that we're restricting ourselves from. We're holding ourselves back from.
Yeah.
It's, you know, rather than they're something that's toxic for us. Mm-hmm. If we could think of them more as being toxic, they just don't fit.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you and I will talk about this in future episodes too. But even in that example, I might say, you know, they're not restricting me. There's a choice to not have this. What it's actually restricting me or depriving me from is higher blood sugar.
Mm.
What it's depriving me from having is fatty liver. So having cake today, 10 seconds of deprivation of not enjoying, you know, a minute's worth of cake is depriving me of ill health, depriving me of contributing to the healthcare issues, all of those things. And I think there's just so many ways that we just can work on shifting the way we think about it and the way we talk to ourselves about it to make it a natural lifestyle so that it becomes something you almost don't have to choose because it's so much ingrained in how you live.
Mm. And like you say, it does just make life easier, actually. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying that this is necessarily something that's easy to do. We both think it's something that's important to do. We think it's something that is going to make your life a lot easier if you are committed to a ketogenic or a low carb way of eating. You know, we firmly believe this is going to make it easier for you to do that. But we're not saying that it's necessarily easy to get that mindset, to get that ingrained. It's certainly something that I've had to work on a lot. I've been keto for about 5 years now or something. And it's still something I struggle with. It's still something I'm working on, but I am working on it. And it does become clearer and clearer and more obvious to me as I continue. So, you know, with that in mind, and you know, I like to end with a top tip. It's me giving you a little bit of a warning. What is your top tip to a good place to start to develop this mindset, to change your identity when it comes to eating keto low carb?
That is a great question. I think the most important thing is kind of where we started, is to go back to, why am I actually doing this? Why am I in this keto group? Why am I following this Facebook group that promotes low carb eating? Why do I value this? And are there things in it that are important enough to me that I can work on not straddling the fence? It's not like a strategy I can do sometimes while I'm still holding on to my other habits because they cancel each other out. You know, going back to my old way of eating mitigates the benefit of eating this way. But I have to be really clear about what are my perceived and actual benefits from this change. Otherwise, there's no point in making the change and it will be very hard to commit to it. I think really reflecting on, I am making this choice for what reasons? What drives me to this? To get in touch with the values and the identity so that you have this kind of centered thing to hold on to.
Mm, fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Terry, for this first of our mindset episodes. I think people are going to find them very helpful. And I encourage you, if you're listening to this and are thinking, oh, I'd really like you to talk about this or that, get in touch, let me know, and maybe we can do a future episode to help you with the issue that you have. Thank you once again, Terry. This has been every bit as enjoyable as I knew it was going to be.
Fantastic. I look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you for listening all the way to the end. I really hope you enjoyed this new format. I'm pretty sure that you will have enjoyed listening to Terry, and maybe there's something you'd like us to talk about in the future. Do get in touch with me. I'm always open to suggestions and I love hearing your ideas. You can reach out on social media or you can email me at daisy@ketowomanpodcast.com. The sun is still shining here today, although apparently the rain clouds are rolling in tonight. Today is the second time I have double dipped in the sea. It's another moonlight swim. Apparently it's a buck moon tonight. Hopefully we're going to get to see it. Last time, although it was lovely weather, it was cloudy, so there was no moon visible. At the moment, it's still clear blue skies, so I'm hoping the clouds don't come in by the time we go this evening, round about 9 o'clock, just as it's starting to get dark. Wherever you are, I hope you're heading into a very fabulous weekend that makes you happy and refreshes you, ready to start your week on Monday. For now, I'm going to leave you with an end quote from James Clear. You might be familiar with his book, Atomic Habits. We mention him in this podcast, and he's one of Terry's favorite authors, so he seemed the perfect person to use for this week's end quote. The ultimate form of intrinsic motivation is when a habit becomes part of your identity. It's one thing to say, I'm the type of person who wants this. It's something very different to say, I'm the type of person who is this. Until next time, take very good care. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.